What is a church member? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible, as we defined it through that source last Sunday, once again says that it is a Christian who is a part of the body of Christ, which composes the church. Now, we learned last week that Paul has a lot to say about that body, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20. Well, today, we are going to actually pick up where we left off, reading the second half of that sermon text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the question today is, the most important question we'll ask today is, what is a functioning church member? Now, I have a feeling that Paul's words that are shared in verses 18 through 31 are going to give us those answers. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 31. Got a little bit of bleed over because we went through 20 last week. You're also going to hear another verse we read last week that's very powerful as well. Here we go. Paul says, "But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. So he has made many parts, but still there is only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Yes, we are especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd. And we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. And while, of course, the parts that may be seen do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. This makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad." Here's that verse from last week. Now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Here is a list of some of the parts he has placed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, those who preach God's word, teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, those who speak in languages they've never learned. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a preacher? No. Are all teachers? Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Can everyone heal the sick? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in languages we've never learned? Can just anyone understand and translate what those are saying who have that gift of foreign speech? No, but try your best to have the most important of these gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. You know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word function as the means to, and these are key words we're going to talk about today, to act, perform, serve, and work. Now, God has made us the many parts to perform and serve to make his body work. The question is, how do we act? And what inspires our acts when we are called to perform and serve and work as functioning church members? Now, many people make the mistake of equating that word functioning with the word working. So they say something like this: oh, I get what this whole sermon series is about. The pastor just wants me to work harder. He just wants me to do more in the church because we got too many things going on in the church. We need more volunteers. Folks, if we think that that's the purpose for this sermon series, we are thinking wrongly. That is not the case. As a matter of fact, we're going to see just what functioning really means. Ironically, and this is a scary thing to say, not all hard workers are functioning church members. We know this based on how those workers act around their fellow church members. Look at verses 21 and 22. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And sometimes hard workers in the church will say this. They'll say, we don't need you. I can do it all, and I don't need you to help. You're just going to mess up my mojo. I've got my work. I know how to accomplish my work, and you're just going to get in the way because you can't do my work. In many cases, church members will be so bad that they'll say, you're just too weak to do this work. You don't have the gifts or the abilities, the strength to do this work. Folks, hard workers who are acting or performing their acts inappropriately within the church, who are not appreciating others, who are not working well with others, who are simply working because they feel like they have to, when especially they don't want to, that is harmful to the body and its members. You see, functioning church members, they want to serve, help, care for, edify, feed, and support and strengthen each other. Look at verses 25 and 26. Paul says this makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And what Paul is saying is, folks, this. He's saying you can be workers, but we really need servants. The church body today needs servants. And there is a difference between working and serving. Today, the church says we need servants. And God says, I need the body to do it. Look at verse 27, one of the greatest passages. Again, we're going to read it here again. We did it last week. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Paul says, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. That's the role, the functioning role of church members, of servants. Jesus said in Mark 9:35, he says, anyone wanting to be the greatest must be the least, the servant of all. He said in Matthew 20:28, your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Last week we noted that country club members can expect others to serve and care for and feed them. Well, this week we realize that functioning church members will want to and will look for opportunities to serve and care for and feed others because of what Jesus has done for and what Jesus has shown them. This was perfectly seen in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. We're not going to read the whole thing. We've condensed it down. Listen to the words, though, this condensed passage where Jesus simply says this. He says, and you'll recognize this passage, I promise you. He says, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me water. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick and in prison, and you visited me. The righteous ones will reply, when did we do this? And I, Jesus, the King, will tell them, when you did it to these, my brothers, you were doing it to me. William Barclay once said this. He says, the world needs people whose ideal is service, not serve us. The Reverend Herschel H. Hobbs once said that the world measures a man's greatness by the numbers who serve him. Heaven's yardstick, says Hobbs, measures a man by the number who are served by him. Are we willing to serve? As a church member, do we see the responsibility that we have in the church as a separate necessary part of it to be servants? John Wesley's rule was this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, and as long as you can. Jesus knows regarding this functioning and serving that we can. In fact, Jesus created the opportunities among his body to fulfill his plan. In fact, if we look at verse 28, he lays out functions and roles that are found within the church. And I have to stress, this is not an exhaustive list. If you say, and many people will do this, they'll make the mistake of looking at this, they'll say, but I'm not on there. I'm not one of these individuals. But if we look at this list, there's a lot to be learned from it. Reading verse 28. Here's a list of some of the parts. Notice that Paul says some of the parts that he has placed in his church, which is his body. Keep in mind, these are apostles. These are leaders who lead the people. prophets, those who preach God's word to the people, teachers, those who teach people, those who do miracles, those who show God's faith and power to people, those who have the gift of healing, those who heal and help people, those who can help others, those who are willing to go over and above the call of duty to assist people, those who can get others to work together, those who bring people together, and those who speak in languages they've never learned, to strengthen the membership of the body so they can disseminate the message of God as members. This, folks, is not all of the list. It's just some of the parts and functions in the church. But here's what's neat. Every single one of these roles, every single one of these parts, every single one of them is about serving each other. You see, you can be a hard worker in the church. A lot of people say, I get it. You just want me to work harder. And I said, no, no. I just want you to serve more. I want you to serve your fellow man. God wants us to serve our church members. God wants us to be servants for each other. Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives, get ready, in helping others. These positions, these functions, verse 28, they're designed to help and serve others. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. You got gifts. You all got gifts. And your gifts, your abilities, your talents are supposed to be used to serve and help each other. You see, functioning church members are working church members. But strangely, not all working church members are serving church members. And sadly, some of our serving could use a little bit of work. Let me give you an example. Back when I was 16, 17 years old, I didn't want to farm, and told this story before. My dad wanted me to farm. I did not want to. I was very dangerous on the farm. His whole farming operation could blow up if I was spending one more day on that farm. So I went to McDonald's, got a job. I worked at McDonald's, had the goofy outfit, but it was better than being on the farm. And so I never liked McDonald's. I love their food. Strangely, I still do. But I never liked working there. But I will tell you this, and you're familiar with McDonald's. Everybody is. You know the golden arches, and you know the red sign underneath. Everybody knows what that says, right? When I was growing up and when I was working at McDonald's, it always had the turning number, over 1 million, 2 million, 4 billion served. Folks, I can tell you this. In my tenure at McDonald's, I never served anyone. I just worked for someone. I can remember the days, and if that saddens you or if that makes you upset, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I can remember the days when I would be on the grill at McDonald's, because that's what I did. I was the grill man. And I remember on those days when we would have the manager would look out the window and be like, there's a bus! And I remember looking at my fellow coworkers and I'd say, oh my gosh! And then the manager, if you know McDonald's, you ever worked at McDonald's, you know when they say we need a dozen on a dozen, that's not good. That means you're going to do a dozen with a dozen and back. So in essence, you're just going to keep going. And you are throwing patties down, and I had this thing down to a science, man. And I could work that spatula. And then, and then, and then, and then, and then, here comes the one person. We know the one person. It's the one person. Because at McDonald's, it's all about a system. We're supposed to serve each other with a system. The problem is one person on that bus, just one, would come in and say, yeah, I'd like a burger, cheeseburger, half onions, no mustard, one pickle, and no seasoning. And I remember looking at that person thinking, why don't you just go get back on the bus? They used to call those slips. Those were slips. Remember the manager said, we got a slip. No, no, we don't. And they'd put the slip up because a slip, that's how it would run on the cash register. So, and they'd put the slip up so you could see exactly what they wanted for that burger. And you had the system going. But that one burger, you had to treat it differently than any other burger. And I remember looking out at those people and I thought, I'm not serving you. I'm not. I'm working for you. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference between working and serving. Many of you say, I worked my whole life, but I don't feel like I ever served anyone. And that can creep into the church as well. You can work your whole life in the church and realize that perhaps you never served anyone or the one. That's a dangerous place to go as a church. Many years ago, when I was a little boy, I was about my daughter's age. My daughters heard this last night. This was a scary thing. When I was growing up in my church, we had what was called the peanut gallery. Coincidentally, it's exactly where Phil was sitting. And you know you love that. So anyway, we were in the back of our church, and it was in this church where we grew up in this little town, not Covell. The kids would always go back there. Man, all the kids sat in the back, and I was the ringleader of that group. And we would sit back there, and we'd talk and pass notes. I was not the best kid in church, I'll admit it. And so what happened was the leadership, the pastors, they came to us one day after church to the peanut gallery. They said, hey, it's Christmas time. We're going to put on a Christmas play, and we need all of you to participate. And I said, no, you mean all of them to participate, because I'm not doing a Christmas play. And my mom and dad came back, and they said, you will be doing the Christmas play. Now, I was a law-abiding young child with my parents, especially when my dad came down on me, and I said, you're right, I will do the play. I worked at that play. I didn't serve in any role, any position, any way in that play. And I realized as I look at it that I was a necessary part of it. I had a pretty big role in that play. That play probably could have gone on without me, but it would have been difficult for that play to go on without me. And my point is this, folks, is regardless of what we do, regardless of our age, regardless of our place, regardless of our situation, you are needed to serve. God wired you. He made you. He put you in this body to function and serve. And if you say, I get it, Pastor, you just want me to work, we got to disconnect. Because that's not what this is about. There are a lot of people that can work, but they don't serve. And if we go into this, if we approach this thinking that we are just called to work without serve, folks, this church is in a lot of trouble. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 12:20-30, that God has created this body and that each of us are separate and necessary parts of it. In essence, functioning church members are working church members who serve each other. But folks, this is where it gets really good. But those serving, functioning church members take it one step farther. And Paul actually previews it perfectly. Now, in many ways, we look at this and we look back and we understand Scripture to read a certain way. So what Paul does is, if you look at this, we look at this, he says something so powerful in verse 31. Listen to this. He says, and it's a preview, it's like a teaser, it's like a radio ad of the coming attractions. He says this. He says, no, but try your best to have the more important of these gifts. And so instantly we're like, well, what do you mean, Paul? Which one's the most important? But then closes out chapter 12 with this. He says, first, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. Now, we understand, because this is the end of chapter 12, now you move into 1 Corinthians 13. Most people know what 1 Corinthians 13 is. It's known as the love chapter. And we love the love chapter. Most of you, if you've been married, you probably, I'm guessing, if I married you, I guarantee I did, because I know what I read. You experienced the love chapter. Because in the love chapter, husbands and wives-to-be love this chapter. They will beg pastors to read the love chapter because they believe that's why Paul wrote it. They're wrong. I hate to ruin all of your wedding plans. If you've said, I want 1 Corinthians 13, I can tell you we've all been mistaken. We feel duped. Paul never wrote it for husbands and wives-to-be. 1 Corinthians 13, the original passage, the original text, was actually the original intent. This chapter was written for church members. Now think about this. This was never meant to be read for husbands and wives, although it works. It was meant as a follow-up regarding chapter 12, regarding church members. Now many of you will say, wait a second, I feel duped. We changed it. Folks, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't have the little numbers with the verses. He didn't have the chapters. For him, it was just one long letter, just continued on. But for many of us, we say, oh, so 12 ends the whole church membership thing. 13 is all about love. It's about love among the members. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Listen to this. It's going to change your whole thinking. If you got married to this chapter, I hope that it doesn't dissuade you in any way. Rather, I hope that it encourages you. Listen to this. Paul says, if I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages. Now here we automatically, we go right back to this list in verse 20 of chapter 12. He says, if I could go back speaking other languages without learning them, could speak in every language there is. in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy, once again, verse 28, chapter 12, and knew all what was going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. And here it comes. Love is, now think about this, folks, with your church members. Think about this. Not husbands and wives, not spouses, family members, church members. Paul says love is very patient and kind. It's never jealous or envious. It's never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges, will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Paul says all the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. The proper response to receiving God's mercy is to give yourself totally to him out of gratitude. Years ago, Captain Shaw, a medical missionary with the Salvation Army in India, visited a leper colony that his mission was taking over. He saw three men with shackles on their hands and feet cutting into their diseased flesh. Captain Shaw's eyes brimmed with tears as he told the guard, "Please unfasten the chains." "It isn't safe," replied the guard. "These men are dangerous criminals as well as lepers." "I'll be responsible," said Shaw. "They're suffering enough." After the shackles were removed, Captain Shaw tenderly treated the men's bleeding wrists and ankles. About 2 weeks later, Captain Shaw had his first misgivings about freeing these criminals. He had to make an overnight trip, and he hesitated to leave his wife and child alone. His wife insisted that she wasn't afraid because God was there. The next morning, she went to the front door and was startled to see the three former criminals lying on her steps. One of the criminals explained, "We know the Dr. Go. We stay here all night so no harm come to you." These men had experienced the doctor's mercy. They responded out of love and out of gratitude by serving him. Michael Dudowit once said, "The evidence of our faith is loving service." Paul said in Galatians 5:13, he says, "For dear brothers, you have been given freedom." Freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom, and this is important, but freedom to love and serve each other. This isn't always easy to do. Why? Because we, as people, and church members, our people, are not always lovable. In fact, some church members might say something like this: "Pastor, if functioning means working, I can probably do it. But if working means serving, I might not be able to do it. And if serving means loving, yeah, I can't do that." Functioning as a body means loving the body. It means serving the body. It means getting to know the needs of the body. Now, many people will say, "Well, that's the role of the pastor." And I can tell you this, you're exactly right. And I'm happy to tell you, for the most part, I think I know my body. I need you to know your body. I need you to love, and I need you to serve your body. Two enthusiastic and well-intentioned church members were going door-to-door to invite neighbors to an upcoming event in the church. They knocked on the door of a woman who had a reputation for not being too fond of the local church members. She told them in no uncertain terms that she did not care to hear what they had to say, and then she slammed the door in their faces. To her surprise, however, the door did not close and, in fact, bounced back open and hit her in the head. She tried again with the same result, and the door simply would not close. Convinced that these church folk were somehow preventing her door from shutting, She reared back to give it a slam that would give them a clear signal when one of the church members calmly said, "Ma'am, before you do that again, we'll suggest that you move your cat." Outsiders aren't always lovable. Guess what, folks? Insiders, church people, aren't always lovable either. That goes for your pastor as well. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, "We will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, and each part in its own special way," listen to this, "each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing," get ready, "and full of love." That's the function of the body. That's how the body works. Functioning church members are loving church members who will love working for the church and love serving the members. Pastor and author Tom Rainer says that, quote, "Church membership is founded on love, authentic, biblical, unconditional love," end quote. That's how the church and its members and its body is supposed to function, working and serving and loving each important and necessary part of the congregation. Cam and I have a rule in our house. I think most of you know work a lot of hours, and I have a very stressful and demanding secular job. And because of that, I need a lot of help from her, and she has her own jobs. And so we are literally, as someone said the other day, "Do you guys ever see each other?" Well, we do when we're working together. And so what we do is, and this was one of those weeks with so much going on, her and I were helping each other out. But one of the rules that we have in the house is this, is that when she works for me, and I don't consider that, I consider that she is serving me because she loves me. Whenever I pull her off of her work, I promise to make sure that I give her back time so she can get her work done. So what I do is this. This week she gave me about 2 hours in my own work. And so I told her, I said, "Here's what we're going to do. Because you gave me your time, I'm going to give you back some time." My wife hates cooking. Hates it. Hates it. Hates it. Hates it. Hates it. And so she, if I give her an hour or 2 hours, I am the hottie winner. That's husband of the year. And so what I do is I give her that time back. So if she gives me an hour, I give her an hour. If she gives me 2 hours, I try to give her 2 hours. The bottom line is this. She serves me because she loves me, and I serve her because I love her. I don't know that she considers it work. I don't consider it work. I consider us working together. And if you saw how we function in our home, folks, we got no time. And it takes a team working together. My kids do every single one of the chores in the house. Everything. Laundry, cleaning, everything. Mopping, vacuuming, dusting, everything. Laundry, everything. You want to know why? Because they understand what it means to serve in the home. Because they understand what it means to love in the home. That's how we function. That's how we function in our home. And I'm amazed that I'm downstairs working on a Saturday morning. I hear the vacuum. They're like, I don't have to say anything. They're up there cleaning, and they do it all. And you know what I tell them? I say, "Girls, you always do such a great job." They get an allowance, but I say, "You do such a great job. Let's go out and have lunch, have supper." It works that way. This is how we function together. The church is no different, folks. The church is no different. We need servants who will want to love and who will want to serve each other. Now, there are examples in the church for us to follow. A lot of people say this, and if you do this, you've taken it out of context. You say, "But the volunteer board's full. There's nothing for me to do." Let me tell you what you need to do. Are you ready? Here's what you need to do. Love each other. Love each other. Be here to celebrate on Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever we get together. Hug someone. Love someone. Tell them how much you appreciate that someone. That's serving. That's loving. And that board will be full because you'll want to love and serve. You'll look for opportunities. You will seek opportunities within the church body. What is the opposite of functional? It's not hard. there's a prefix with three letters. It's called dysfunctional. And folks, let me promise you this. There are many churches today that are dysfunctional. I don't want ours to be dysfunctional. Dysfunctional is defined as abnormal or unhealthy behavior within a group or family. Paul said in Titus 3:14, he says, "For our people must learn to help all who need their assistance, that their lives will be fruitful." Functional equals fruitful. Those are the perks and bennies of your church membership. We talked about a country club. You join a country club because you want perks and bennies. That's what you want. In a church membership, as a church member, among the church body, many of us say, "I want my perks and I want my bennies." Well, let me tell you what your perks and bennies are. Your perks and bennies will come from loving and serving the body. Trust me when I say this. You see, when you care for each other, when you love each other, when you're there for each other, you're going to feel those perks and benefits. You're going to say, "I now understand what it means to be a servant, and I like it." So my question is this. Are you willing to be a functioning church member? Are you willing to work within the body, serve the members of the body, and love the members unconditionally? That's where it starts, folks. That volunteer board will be filled up. I want your hearts to be filled up. You see, here's what happens, folks. If we say, "I'm not really into this," and guess what happens? Those servants, those people that love the body, all they do is serve, and all they do is love. And all of a sudden, they get tired. Really tired. And those people who serve, they don't look at it as serving anymore. Now it's working. Because they're working so hard to make the body function. And that just causes dysfunction. And those people, they always say 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I don't believe it has to be that way in the church. In fact, I believe this. I think 90% of the people can serve the church. The 10% of the people might not be capable simply because of physical situations that would not allow them to do it, but they can still love and attend church and be part of this body known as the people. This is what functioning church membership looks like, folks. The real question is, are we willing, seeking, volunteering, and then functioning in a way that is Christ-like? Work and serve and love. And when we do this, not if we do this, but when we do this, the body will function and it will thrive and it will grow just as Jesus intended. That's what he wants in his church body. He wants us to be functional people. Stand and close. Hymn number 490, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." I don't know about you, I know me, and I know that I get a thrill out of loving and serving other people. I wasn't always that way. Not when I worked at McDonald's. Not when I served in the Christmas play at the Cerro Gordo Church, or the Brethren Church of Cerro Gordo. Not at all. But I get that great feeling from serving and loving others. And folks, let me tell you this. God knows that we need more in our lives than what we get in our lives. You look for great things that come from your work, from your family, jobs, from everything that you do, but he knows this. He knows that when you love and serve others, that's when you truly experience the benefits and the joy of life. It can happen right here. This is where it should start, not only here, but in your homes. Make sure it happens in your homes. Function together in your homes and make sure that you're one united team in your homes. And you will have a functional home. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to see what we have been called to do by you. You want us to love. You want us to serve each other. This is what it means to be a church member. And I pray today that we will go beyond working, that rather we'll take this mantle of serving, that we will do it to the best of our ability. And I pray that you will bless us and help us today as we are encouraged to start anew in this new year, to love and serve our fellow church members. I pray that we'll know each other. I pray that we'll care about each other, that we'll love each other, we'll feed each other, that we'll pray for each other. And I pray that this church will be unified in Jesus Christ together. Thank you for everything. Keep us safe today. Be with all of us, and especially with the Matters and with the Beckers and all that they're going to be enduring today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.